Verse 28. But what think ye? A man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented himself and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Which of the two did the will of his father? They say the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye saw it, did not even repent yourselves afterward, that you might believe him. And now Luke 15, verse 11. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of thy substance that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the country. And he began to be in want. Verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's had bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. Now, look at verse 25. Now, his elder brother was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called to him one of the servants and inquired what these things might be. And he said, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. But he was angry, and would not go in. And his father came out and entreated him. But he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I served thee, and I never transgressed the commandment of thine, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But when this thy son came, who hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou killedst to him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that is mine is thine. But it was meet to make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Father, we thank you for what we read in thy word. Let us know that there are some here this morning who have had experiences bringing forth children into the world. Others only can emotionally feel these things in their hearts from reading in thy word such things that have occurred. But we are glad that you tell us about the things that are so prevalent in the world between fathers and sons. And we desire that the living word of God might have its effect upon our hearts, that we might learn from the intelligent things and the mistakes made by these fathers and sons, and that all who are here may be better fathers, and those, their children, may be better sons. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and again, Father, empower lips and prepare hearts, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I could have given you ever so many more examples. Some that would come to mind would be Abraham, who had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, and Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. I could tell you about Judah. Judah had sons, Perez and Zerah. You find so many examples of fathers and sons. Does anybody know who had 70 sons? Well, Gideon had 70 sons. But the important thing is that all the portions that I've read to you are fathers who have two sons that are spoken of. It doesn't mention more. It mentions two. And what is of the greatest significance is the dissimilarity between all these sons and their relationships with their fathers. The mistake that so many fathers make is this. They will read a book, and the testimony is given of a father who has had success with his sons, and they say, that is the way that I must pattern myself. I remember one man coming after a preaching service on an occasion, and he wanted to be saved. But he was thinking about a friend of his who had been saved in a particular way. And he said that unless I am saved in that way, then I won't be saved. But you will find that God saves people in the greatest variety of ways. If you are a Philippian jailer, he has to send an earthquake to save you. And yet, if you are a woman named Lydia, God quietly and gently speaks to your heart and opens your heart, and you trust Christ. So there are no two ways precisely that the same person is saved. Similarities, but the greatest dissimilarities. And so in like manner, if you think that your relationship with your sons is unique, it is not. You'll find it somewhere in the Bible. And at the same time, if you think that your relationship is the only relationship, you're wrong. You'll find different relationships. And because of that, you look at fathers and their sons, and then you look at yourself and your sons, and you learn from them. Sometimes you look at the sons and you say, I'm better off than that father. And then you look at a father and his sons, and you say, well, I'm worse off than that father. But remember that in all these instances I've been telling you about, God was interested in fathers and sons. Suppose he was only interested in sons of Zebedee. You say, well, then he wouldn't be interested in me. Only interested in sons when his son was on earth. No. He's interested in sons yesterday and today and as long as they're on the earth. And he's interested in various kinds of sons, whether they are good or whether they're bad. And he's interested in your sons. And he's interested in you fathers and the way that you stand before your sons. Because I could have spoken to you on this wise about fathers who were commended and fathers who were condemned. If I asked you about heaven and hell, you would say God determines all of that. But strange that the book of Proverbs says this concerning people who have undisciplined children. The father says, you shall use the rod and save his soul from hell. Now that's heresy, isn't it? I thought only God could save children from hell. But the Bible says a father can use the rod and save him from hell. And this is what it says concerning Eli and his sons. It says, your sons sinned, and you restrained them not. They brought destruction upon themselves. And so it is a grave responsibility. God never gave me sons or daughters to keep. If he had, then perhaps I would be guilty of looking at you in a more generous way. But at least God did this. He let me keep for 12 years my sister's son. And so that was the nearest I ever came. And I had experience not with my own son, but with somebody else's son that was near akin. And so I've had a little experience with at least one male in the house, but I never had two sons. And there is a great difference. If it's so hard to deal with one, what do you men do when you have two sons? And what would that father do if he had 70 sons? But there are those that the Father in heaven give to fathers on earth. And he says this, blessed is the man that hath his quiver full of them. And so don't you wish you had more children? Some of you say, no, no. But if God brings them into your life, then they can be blessings. And it was of interest concerning a good father, because Job was a good father. He didn't know everything that his children did, but he took into consideration things that his children might have done. And he interceded with God and made sacrifices to God for his children. So do you see? Now you have a double responsibility. You who are fathers and are lost, you have a responsibility to be saved and to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But at the same time, you who are fathers and are saved, that responsibility is yours, and you have a responsibility towards your children as father, but you have a responsibility also as a father in the church. In the Epistle of John, it says, I write unto you fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And so some of us are fathers, and we have many children, spiritual children. And the Lord Jesus spoke about that and his family. He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? And he looked at all of his disciples. He said, those that do the will of my Father in heaven, the same as my mother and my brother and sister. So there are responsibilities that are to be fulfilled as a father in spiritual circles, but the day, the occasion, is your being a father in the physical sense. And so it is required of fathers to provide for their children. God expects all the temporal things. And now the word has to be used, unnatural affection, without natural affection. Those terms, isn't that strange? And yet the Bible speaks about some with unnatural affection. And yet the Lord Jesus speaks about people that are supposed to be normal. He said, which of you having a son, if he asks bread, will you give him a stone? The Lord Jesus can't even reason with unnatural affection. Or if you ask for an egg, you'll give him a rock. Or if he asks, and he goes on and shows the different things that if a father hears his son ask for something that is good, his father will give it to him because he loves him, and also because he is required to do so. If you provide not for your own, you're worse than an infidel. That is what the scripture teaches. So you have this responsibility as a father to provide for your children. But in the instances that I read to you this morning, it's not just the father providing for the son, being in a situation where finances are close and you can't give him everything he wants. Those aren't the problems in the portion I read to you today. It's this kind of problem. You say to your son, son, there's a lot of work to do in the vineyard. Son, go work today in the vineyard. And your son says, I will not. Have you fathers heard of that before? So many children that won't work lie around in bed, expect you to provide everything for them. And so you say, well, isn't that interesting? Here I have a son that's lazy, that is impudent, and I speak to him and I tell him to do things, and he doesn't, in a gentle way, refuse. He says to me in a plain way in my face, I will not. And so, there's nothing new to you if you have disobedient children. The Lord Jesus knows about disobedient children. But now, think of this other father. This father, who has two sons, and he is so happy. He started a fishing business. He saw his sons born into the world, and as little boys, they were trained, and now they are mature men, and he's going to pass on his business to them. So, one day, the Lord Jesus comes along, and Zebedee is in the boat with James and John, his sons, and the Lord Jesus goes up to his sons, and he says, follow me. And those sons of these trained all his life to take over his business. They say, goodbye, Father, and they leave him and go their way and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They say, do children do that to you? Indeed, they do. But the difference is this. In Luke 15, here is a man who has two sons, and one of the sons leaves him, as the two sons of James, of Zebedee, James and John, left him. But it is an entirely different reason. It is not the higher call that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the call of the world. As it says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. And so the world calls, and Demas says, yes. And in like manner, here is a father who has a young son and an old son, the younger and the elder. And as soon as that young son reaches a certain age, he can't wait for his father's death. He says, Father, give me the portion of the substance that befalleth me. And his father gives it to him. He can't go into all of the reasons of this. Just take it that his father said, here you are. And it says, not many days after, the young son gathers everything that he had, and he goes into the far country, and all the reports that his father hears, he's spending his inheritance in riotous living. Have any of you fathers ever experienced that? Isn't that sad? As I go and preach in different assemblies, fathers tell me about their sons. My son is on drugs. My son is in this line of business that is degrading. I'm so ashamed. I'm heartbroken. And so I told you, it doesn't matter what your son has done. If you look hard enough in the Bible, you will find things that others' fathers' sons have done to them. And you're to learn from it. And so some of you, if your son takes everything that's coming to him and goes into a far country and spends it all, to say, oh dear. And then you compare yourself to Zebedee, who says, do you know, I had my sons trained to take over my business and they left me. Well, where did they go? They followed Jesus. And this one whose son went into the far country said, followed Jesus. I wish my son had left me and followed Jesus. You see? So you can compare your life with the lives of other fathers, and some will be like you, but some will be different. Some of you have two sons that you trained for ever so long a time, and they were obedient children, and they were going to take over your business. But later in life, they left you. You have some that are young, and as soon as they reach maturity, and this is what is so sad that I see today, not maturity, but reaching puberty, they are ready to leave home to forsake you. That is what is so sad. And this is what the father in Luke 15 has. His son, his younger son, whatever age he is, as soon as he's old enough to pack up his suitcase and leave, he takes off. And here is another one. The other one could say, oh, your son left you? Yes. Your son left you? Yes. Well, what about your son? Well, my son didn't leave me, but I asked them to go to work and they won't do anything. One of my sons says, I'm not going to do it, but I'll tell you good things about him later. However, I have one son and I said to him, son, go work today in my vineyard. He said, yes, father, I'll go work for you. And I looked out in the field and he never went out in the field. You have children like that? Some people say, I'm not going to do what you tell me. And others that are so nice, yes, I'll do everything that you tell me, but they never do it. You see, all of these experiences that you think are unique to you, other people have had them. And you see the variations. Two sons leaving at one time. One son leaving, one son staying home. Two sons staying home. One of them will work and the other one won't work. And so you have all of these variations. And this is a burden that comes upon all of you as fathers, as all of you who have wives. Now, if God has given you the gift of self-control, then God says it's good not to marry. But if you do not have the gift of self-control, then God says you should get married. But Paul says, if you do get married, you're going to have problems. And you say, I want children. That's good. If you don't have children, you say, oh God, why don't I have children? And then God gives you children and you say, oh God, why did you give me such children? And so it's always some complaint. But in the portion that I have, and I'll tell you in advance, in case I'm not able to give you all the details, that there was a consolation in every case. I'll mention it in brief and describe it later. Tell me, that one son, when his father said, son, go work today in my vineyard, and he said, I will not. Afterward, what did he do? You say, he repented himself, and he went. Well, then it's possible that your children who disobey you today may obey you tomorrow. And you look in the field and expect to see nobody there, but you look out and you say, well, that's that son that said, I'm not going to work. And you'll find him in the field. Isn't that a consolation? You say, thank God, it is. And all of you who have children who have left home and they're spending their substance in riotous living, the consolation is this. The father, who in his heart had longed for that son and who had looked down that pathway every day, one day he looked down that pathway and his son was coming home. Isn't that a consolation? Your sons who left home can come back home. And they'll be better off when they come back home than when they left. You say, thank God. And in like manner, James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, who left his father, their father, and followed the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the consolation? When Zebedee came to himself, he would realize that this is the greatest gift that God could ever bestow upon him, taking his sons out of an inferior business and placing them in God's business. You say, yes, I can see that. But it's so hard when they leave off the family business. Yes, but if they go into God's business, is that better? No father in his right mind could argue with that. And so those are the consolations. I might elaborate later. I tell you the consolations before I tell you the sad thing. Let me give you a sad contrast to James and John who followed the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And James and John followed the Lord Jesus. It says in Luke 9 that the Savior, he had three or different ones that had dealings with him. He said to one, follow me. And he said, first, bid me to go home and say goodbye to my family. And the Lord Jesus said, no. And another one said, let me go and bury my father. The Lord Jesus said, no. Do you understand? That there are some sons that the Savior calls, and we'll take it, that these were known by the Savior that they weren't going to follow him. I would to God they would follow him at a later time. What if you were a father, and the Lord Jesus called your children, and they would not follow him? What could be worse than that? You say, nothing. Then, here is a father who could say, my son was called to serve the Lord, and my son said no. Then, what about you, who had so much planned for your children in the earthly affairs, and the Lord Jesus calls your children, and they said yes? You say, well, I'm better off than that other father. You see, God gives us all these experiences and variations to show you that there are sad things that every father experiences. And even in the midst of sadness, there is the consolation, there is the hope that those children that are away will come home. And those who say, I will not go and work in the vineyard, later on, they will work in the vineyard. And that those sons that were such good fishermen, you see, leave home, and later you realize that they've learned to catch fish more important than the ones that live in the waters where your boat was. You say, yes, these are consolations. But understand that here are fathers, and they have these bitter experiences. sons, and not all sons are ideal. Would it not be good that when the scripture says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, and you teach your child that scripture. Exodus 20 and Ephesians chapter 6. My child, the Bible says, obey your parents. And your child looks at it and says, yes, I'm to obey my parents. And from that day forth, everything you ever told him, he would do. That would be miraculous, wouldn't it? Such a thing is possible, but I only know one son who ever did it. And he said this, I do always the things that please my father. But most of us, if we considered our children, they would do things oftentimes that displease us. But if they did, remember this, that they are like other sons that we read about in Scripture. So here we are. We have sons that react differently. We have two sons, and think of them now, and the father says to them, look, I want you to go work today in the vineyard. He speaks to each one individually. And one son says no, but goes, and the other son says yes. You see how different children are? If they were to both refuse, and then both change their minds, or if they were both to say yes and never change, but you have one son that seems to be obstinate and says no, and then afterward he repents himself and he goes. And you have another son, yes, and he doesn't go. Do you see how different sons are? This is what is remarkable, that a father can look at two sons that came from his loins, from the same womb, and they're so different. And I could have brought out, had I desired, twins, Jacob and Esau, and yet so different. And so here is a father that has two sons. Well, the consolation is this, at least one of them is working in the vineyard. Here is a father, and this is what is so heartbreaking, is that the father and the younger son, eventually, when he comes home, their minds are in harmony with one another, because there is such a thing as physical death, and there is such a thing as spiritual death, and the father knows that. He says, this my son was lost and is found. He was dead, and he is alive again. And notice, when he speaks to his elder son, who disliked that, he said, this thy brother was lost and is found, was dead and is alive again. This is what is so sad. When you have two brothers that are so diverse from one another, the one says, I'm not going to work, and the other brother who has no intention of working says, good, I'm not planning to work either. But then he sees this brother that was stubborn in the field working, but he has no intention of working. Do you see the disparity there? And in the elder son and the younger son in Luke 15, the younger son comes home now, his life is straightened out, and yet his brother, the younger brother, is not received, accepted by the older brother. And what does that mean? That means that the family is divided. Here is the father, and here is the young son that has come home, and they are one with one another. But now, the older son doesn't want anything to do with him. Do you have such experiences in your home? That you love one son, even though he's been bad and has repented, and your other son resents the sinful life that this son that you love so much has lived? You see, all of these things that you think are peculiar to you, they have been experienced by other fathers as well. And so what does it mean? It means that some of you today have sons who are in the far country, and you have to wait. But when you wait in sadness and pray, I've told you that that younger son came to himself in the far country, and he returned home. And those sons that are disobedient, he repented himself and eventually obeyed his father. And what is so remarkable, I've heard fathers talk about the accomplishments of their son. Do you know what this father, Zebedee, who allowed his sons to follow the Lord Jesus, is going to experience in the coming day? Zebedee, who was a follower of God as well, in that coming day, he is going to see the Lord Jesus sitting upon his throne in the regeneration. And he's going to see his two sons also, sitting upon two of the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he'll say, to think, I wanted to keep them catching fish, and now they have one of the highest places possible. They're sitting upon the throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And they're seated also around the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what do you want for your son? May God's will for your children be your will. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the experiences that you give us in life, some with adopted children, some with those that come from our loins, and they break our hearts and they give us joy. But we are thankful, our God, that there is ever that consolation that disobedient sons will obey, and that sons in the far country shall return, and those that we've lost to the Lord Jesus in eternity and in the kingdom, we shall rejoice that they did hearken to the call of the Lord Jesus. Our Father, we thank you for the experience of life, for the life that you've given us, and also the life that has come from our bodies and been passed on to others. We thank you for those experiences as well. Our Father, may they not bring sorrow, but joy. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.